Hello and welcome to the Wild Wormhole, where much like the card, you never know what you're gonna get. I'm your host D-House, here with my buddy Jim, also known as Jay Bray. How's it going, Jim?
It's going great, D-House. How've you been?
So good. We're back. We came back and then we're back again.
And we stayed back. We stayed back.
No, it was really cool. We posted our first episode from the Wormhole in a long time, and a lot of people commented about just being excited about the show and having it back. So that was really encouraging. Good to know that people actually care that we're doing this, and it's not just you and me doing this for you and me.
Hey, we still have fun with it, so it's the whole point of the show for sure.
Heck yeah. But anyways, yeah, so we're back, and what's really interesting is Jay and Mike, I think, got pretty jealous. They started playing some Keyforge again this week, so who knows? They may pop into a future episode.
Oh, goodness. For only amazing plays, I'm sure, from all of them.
Well, Jim, you'll have to approve them, though. I mean, they pretty much got kicked out, and you took their place, so you might have to, like, fight to the death or something.
That's a lot of power in my hands. I think I could take Jay for sure. Mike seems like he might be a little scrappier, though, so should be a good battle there.
Yeah. So anyways, let's jump into it. How much Keyforge you been playing recently?
Pretty decent amount. Couple of games a day on Crucible. Playing a little bit more in person as well, which has been great. We have really fun local scene that's definitely getting more excited for the game, and it's really awesome, especially going into this new expansion that's going to be coming out, just to kind of get that buzz going again. So yeah, I've been playing a decent amount. So what about yourself?
So much. I think I played more Keyforge in the last week since the game came out, and I had proxy decks, print and play decks, trying to get everyone to play.
So you're telling me this is the best week of your year?
Obviously. Yeah, honestly, same thing. Like, just playing a lot in person, having a lot of guys over the house, meeting up in coffee shops, playing over lunch breaks at work. We actually just jammed some games with a couple guys.
We did before
recording this. And that was a ton of fun. But the Crucible has been great. Like, yesterday, I was sick and, like, couldn't talk. And after my son went down, I just hopped on the Crucible, jammed some games. I actually played a league match from the Sanctimonious League.
Yeah, tell everyone about how that went.
Yeah, so, well, let's backtrack a little bit. I didn't put this in the show notes, but this is good that we're hitting this.
Sure.
So, last episode, we talked about I was going to sign off and play Dave Cordero, who was second place at Gen Con, and very infamous in the Keyforge community for being awesome. So, played him, and I lost 0-2. He won both games, and it's Archon Triad, by the way. So we both bring three decks to the game, and we each ban one of the other guys, and then you have to win with your other two decks. So I lost both, but I will say I think in both games there's a lot of a lot of back and forth, and I think, like, both games I ended up losing, and I had like five or six amber ready for my third key if I can get to it, but he finishes it out. But it was crazy. It was literally like every decision was like so tight. You make one small mistake, and there were a couple times where he did a few things. Like, at one point, I think I had forged a key and had two amber, and he was at zero amber, and I was feeling and no keys, and I was like, man, I'm doing really well here. And he just popped some plays that just, like, brought him back so fast. Like, it was very clear. Like, it confirms to me that Keyforge is a very skill intensive game.
Yes, definitely.
And that, like, the more experience you have, it's not just random. It's not just variance. It's like this. He proved, like, hey, there's a reason he's successful at a high level.
Yeah, absolutely. I was able to watch those two games, and definitely coming down to the end of that second game, I remember you were down, had almost no deck left, and so Dave was able to use your deck list to try to figure out what cards you had left and to what to play around. And I mean, he played it perfectly. So very cool games to watch. Very close games. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody so excited to lose 0-2 to somebody. So, Dave, that just speaks to your infamy around here, but those are some awesome games for sure.
This is good. So, yeah, then played my second league match last night. He banned my favorite deck, Kartir the Tight Pursed. I've talked about it on the podcast before. one of my favorites. But I got to play with, it's Artellus of Amber Market and Lord F. Lavatua.
What a name.
These great names, great names. But the Amber Market deck is just insane. And so I got to, it's not very skill intensive, I think. It goes against everything I just said, honestly. So won that one and then lost the next two. But he played brilliantly. What's his name on Discord? Knightly Peacock, I think it is. But great games, like really fun. I made one or well two costly misplays. He had a Flame Wreath upgrade on his Succubus.
Yes.
And with two damage, and for some reason in my head, I was thinking I can Nerve Blast and kill him, or Relentless Whisper, kill him, steal one. Thinking he was at 4 power with the Flame Wreath, and he's at 5 power, so we went to 4, and I just sat there like, why didn't he die? I was like, oh no. And it was like all hinging on this like one play, and I already had a chain, so with his Succubus out there, I was only drawing up to 4 cards.
Right.
And it's just like brutal. Like it was like I was like doing really well, and then just that smaller hand killed any momentum I had going forward. So I'm having like PTSD from Succubus because he had like multiple Succubus and I was trying to kill, and I never could kill him. And I also played Coward's End, thinking in my mind it was Gateway to Dis. Thinking it would just kill everything.
Right.
And it's like only undamaged.
So some damaged guys.
And so three guys survived after with a giant board. And it was... So anyway, so it's like little stuff like that. I'm like, I don't know that it would change the result, but it felt pretty significant at the time. Like when it's so tight back and forth. But yeah, great games. I will say like he even said after the game he loves to play decks with super wide boards. So he's playing like Brobnar Sanctum and all of his decks. And it got to certain points where, you know, when I didn't have answers for those, like it just felt like there was a tipping point where he just had such a wide board, like I just couldn't stop it. I didn't have the unlock gateway or whatever I needed to deal with it. And if I didn't get my combos out, like in my Lavatua deck, there's three Witch of the Eye and Nocturnal Maneuvers. So being able to like reap with the witch and then exhaust three of their guys and then reap with another witch and then exhaust three more of their guys or whatever. There's some crazy stuff, and there's mimicry, but didn't draw into mimicry. It was at the bottom of my deck, and so stuff like that. When you don't get the combo pieces out and they get a big board, it hurts. So I'm going to have to look at my three decks again and make sure that I have answers for if I do play against someone with super wide board decks. Like, if I have those board wipes ready in at least one of the decks. Because I felt like neither of mine really had those ready, besides the Coward's End. But, yeah. Oh, and he also had King of the Crag in against my Brobnar lineup. So, when he played it and all my Brobnar guys are -2, it's a super feel-bad moment.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like the wide boards was so good for just killing any combo potential that you were trying to come up with there. So,
yeah.
Any of that, like, spice that you have in your deck, or like you said, where the reap and get those cards back, you know, just having a wide board, just kind of playing it pretty straightforward there, just kills any potential there. So, but I think the coolest thing about that is, you know, you talked about how much fun you had just kind of playing the local games, the casual games, and then can also jump straight into that competitive play and just really just shows the range of Keyforge and just how any side of it can still be so enjoyable and fun and just come up with those crazy plays like that.
Yeah. And speaking of that too, like with all the momentum from just guys being able to play on the Crucible and just playing locally. Our local store literally just responded today, said, hey, we want to start doing the weekly thing. And because I had sent them the link to the new leaderboard league kit that they have, where the top four guys at the end of the league get these custom art decks.
Yeah, those are sweet looking.
They're
too.
Right?
Right.
Did it seem like the whole deck is custom art, like alt art, or is it just like...
From what I read, it seemed like one card in the deck would be alt art.
Okay, so one or 36.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's still an alt art, which is sweet.
I hope it's not just one. I hope the whole thing is alt art, but...
It'd be a lot of work from the designer's perspective there, but it'd be cool.
I guess.
If y'all want to do that instead, we'd gladly accept it.
But then you're just playing for a prize for literally one card.
Well, you get the whole deck still.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
It's okay. That'll just be your excuse when you get fifth place and don't get one. Be like, well, it was only one card. I didn't want it anyway.
Yeah, I didn't care.
It's here for fun.
Sweet. So, yeah, been jamming out a lot of KeyForge. Really excited about the local community. But we're going to jump into a new segment I decided to bring in because this is what gets me excited about KeyForge. We're going to call it the Sizzle Reel segment.
The Sizzle Reel. Sizzling up some bacon.
Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Sizzle Reel, but this is what on ESPN when they're doing their intros or their top 10 segments, they have a Sizzle Reel where it's kind of like the highlights from the day or the crazy plays, the big tackles or the big shots or whatever. So I thought, hey, let's have a moment in the episode where we can talk about our own like sizzle reel or someone else's sizzle reel they had against us, where they had like epic highlight plays and just like really sweet moments that make you appreciate what KeyForge is and the way that certain deck personalities come out. So
I like it.
So
like
Jim,
it.
tell me about a sweet play.
Yeah, absolutely.
A sizzle reel moment that you've had.
Let's see here. So actually, my sizzle reel comes with a game against D House over here. So we're playing.
Okay, we're gonna end this segment right there.
No. This is some
stupid
hot fire sizzle going on right here. So everyone knows there's different ways that you can lock someone out of a game. You can do, you know, Restringentus into Pit Lord. That's a very common one. But this one had some good spice into it. And so, just like David was talking about with Witch of the Eye, how great it can be if you get that combo potential going. I was able to kind of utilize that. And so he had a Control the Weak in his discard pile. And I was able to play Mimicry to use that and call this. Also, with this sizzle combo potential here, I was able to reap with Witch of the Eye and get that Mimicry back. And so I called Dis, kind of waited to see what happened. You know, looked through his discard pile. He mostly had Dis in there and just kind of hoping. And sure enough, he had no discards out on the table, no discards in his hands, and he was officially locked out of the game. He just had to pass it back to me. I think I had 4 or 5 untamed creatures out at that time. So, you know, reaping with all of them, getting that 4 or 5 amber, doing the combo again, you know, play the Mimicry to use his Control the Weak, call Diz, reap with Witch of the Eye to get that Mimicry back. And so I was able to do that all the way to close out the game. However, since I'm a nice guy, you know, I didn't want, you know, David to quit KeyForge forever, you know, never do this podcast again.
Too late.
And so at the end, I had a Fertility Chant, which that card is an action that gains you 4 amber, but your opponent gets 2. And so he was at 5 amber, no keys forged. So I was kind enough to let him get a key before the end of the game, and then absolutely demolished him after that. And so I think I was very, you know, kind and courteous in that moment. But it was some pretty sweet sizzle, and we played it over the Crucible, so I didn't get to watch his reaction through all of it. But I pictured in my head, and that was almost sweeter. So that was a very fun victory here. So, yeah, top that sizzle.
Yeah, super, super, super duper fun. Yeah, it does. I feel like I've been wrecked by Mimicry a few times in the past week. There's another time I was playing against my buddy. He's like, hey, can I look at your discard pile? I was like, why? So you can Mimicry something in there? He's like, oh, I don't know. And I had a suit, like, I had like 10 creatures out. And he had like 1 or 2, and like we kept doing this thing, this dance where I'm like, I didn't want to put anything in my discard pile that he could Mimicry, and I just had a brain fart and dropped a Champion's Challenge.
Oh no!
When he had 2 guys out to my 10, and so he's like, did you just put that in your discard? I was like, oh gosh!
Like his poker face wasn't great there. Like you knew was, the world knew.
I know it was. Anytime someone asks to look at your discard pile, like
Mimicry, it's like, done.
Yeah, there's a few cards in there.
I think I love that card so much just because it changes every game with what it can do. It's very just dependent on what your opponent has, but it's always spicy and always so, so satisfying to pull off. So
I do love it.
All right, what sizzle you got for us?
So my moment actually came playing against old Wormhole co-host Jay himself. He's, like I said, he's been playing a little bit more KeyForge and catching up on all the cards and grinding out some games. And so we played a sealed game. No, it wasn't sealed. Sorry. It was Archon. And I got this new deck and I was like, oh, I want to try this out. And there were two cards in there I'd never played. It's in Logos, Pocket Universe and Valen Analyst. Oof. Pocket Universe is an artifact where it says you can spend amber on it to forge keys. And then there's an action where you can move an amber from your pool to the artifact. So basically you're like protecting your amber from being stolen or messed with for later, with a little bit of risk that if they destroy the artifact, that amber goes away.
Come on, Rustnar.
So yeah, or Poltergeist or anything. So overall, not a big fan of it, but in this particular deck, I've got like a bunch of like Logos artifacts, and that being one of them. So I dropped a Valen Analyst, who's a Logos creature, 2 power, that every time you use an artifact, you gain 1. And so at the end of the game, I managed to, I had a bunch, like 3 or 4 Logos artifacts out, and Valen Analyst, and I used each of the artifacts, gained 1, got up to 6, was able to then use, or got up to, 5, and then used Pocket Universe to move an amber from my pool to Pocket Universe, which gained me 1 from Valen Analyst.
Oh my gosh.
So now I'm at 6 amber, but I only have 5 in my pool, and toss it back over to Jay, and he'd been sitting on a doorstep to heaven for like multiple turns.
Oh no.
And that was his only way to get me off check, and otherwise he might have been able to sneak back in the wind. So Pocket Universe actually like won me the game. ironically, after all that, because that was his one option. That was the one thing that could stop me before he won. So it was one of those moments I was like, oh my gosh, that's epic. I really enjoyed that. So
in the satisfaction of, you know, just beating Jay like that, it's that much better.
So. Always good to beat Jay. Always good. Well, cool. Well, let's move on. And we've been talking about like just playing lots of different games in person and online. And so I just want to take a moment and just talk about what's one of your favorite decks you've been playing? Not necessarily your most successful, but what, you know, whether it's on the Crucible or in person or sometimes, like I was telling you this earlier, that there was one game I played against our buddy Daniel on Sealed on the Crucible, and it was such an epic game and deck. Like, I looked it up, I was like, if I could somehow track down the owner of this deck, I absolutely would, because this thing is so much fun. So I was thinking, like, that would be something we could talk about in the segment on our favorite decks, but you take it however you want. What's your favorite deck right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So mine is also a sealed deck that I played on the Crucible. And I think it's just fun too, because there's such an unknown when you play the sealed. So it's, you play the one game, you never see that deck again. And so this one was just cool to me. It was a very fair deck. It was called Kent, Jarlsgar's Baronet.
Jarlsgar's. That's a normal word.
Yeah, it's Norwegian. it means good health. That's not true. Sorry to anyone.
You said that so confidently. I totally believe you. You should just kept going.
But it was a Braumnar Dis Shadows deck. And I looked it up on the decks of Keyforge. It only has a 76 SAS score and then a 62 AERC. So honestly, underpowered. But I think my favorite thing about this deck was just finding new combos that don't necessarily appear to be broken on the surface, but just in-game they can just get so nasty. So this deck with the Braumnar package has 2 Dremornauts. And normally you think Dremornauts, first thing you look for is that Gengar Chieftain. See if you can do...
Rule of 6.
The Rule of 6 combo to get 6 amber each turn. But this one actually had a Brammo in there. And, you know, I'm still learning a lot of these cards and kind of getting excited for the different combos they can pull off. And so with the 2 Dremornauts in the Brammo, Brammo is a 4-power creature with a 1 armor. And just play, deal 2 damage to each flank creature. So it doesn't seem like anything too crazy or exciting. But with the 2 Dremornauts, it was really cool because I was able to play it, you know, do 2 damage to each of their creatures on the flanks, pull it back up with Dremornaut, do it again, pull back up with Dremornaut, do it again. And just, I'm a nerd loving math, so just to get to do that math and just destroy their board every single turn, which is so satisfying and very kind of unique way to go about doing that.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I like, Brammo is... One of those Brodnar guys. I'm never disappointed to see him in the lineup. Even though he's a little underpowered for a Brodnar at four, I feel like just being able to throw that down and do two, especially to like pesky like Shadows boards that
definitely
are low powered.
Yeah, that on top of just there's so many things with, you know, depending on how many damage creatures your opponent has, that just some combo potential just kind of comes from it. And so, like I said, just something that just on the surface doesn't seem gross at all, but just those three cards is able to completely wreck their board. And I mean, this deck, like I said, the rest of it, nothing too crazy, but just because I had that combo in there, I was able to just take a quick, easy win. So it has like three banishes in here, which is just, you know, gain an amber and then put an enemy creature into your opponent's archives. So I think I was able to get rid of two upgrades on a creature because of that. Typically just a very okay card, but just is able to do some cool stuff. Has a couple of Dust Chronicles. And then, yeah, from there, nothing super exciting or cool looking. Has a couple of Coward's Ends, which I don't know. I just can never get behind that card. It always just feels so bad when you play it. It's like taking those three chains, regardless of the board state, just never feels good to me. So
in the right situation, though,
well, I mean, if you have a Loot the Bodies to gain one for each of them, yes. And you know, sometimes it is kind of the only way to stay in the game, but so often it can just be that dead card in your hand that you just want to discard. So yeah, that was my favorite deck for the week. Just like I said, it was just kind of fun to learn that new combo, and I talked about a little bit last week where board control is definitely my style of play as well. So anytime I can build up that board and just absolutely wreck my opponents, like, it's a good day.
Yeah.
So Kent, you did well for me. Thanks for getting that sealed victory. So yeah, that was the favorite deck of the week for me. What did you have for this week?
Yeah. So our buddy Landon, when the game came out, he bought like two cases of Keyforge decks, like way more than any human being.
Love that so much.
But just immediately looked them all up, put a bunch on eBay, and sold a few decks for several hundred dollars. So not only made all of his money back, but then like made a profit on it.
That's
so
unreal.
He's pretty much only made money on Keyforge while still owning a bajillion decks. So if I was like more motivated, I think that'd be like a fantastic way to like sustain this game. But I'm not disciplined enough to do it. But anyway, so he came over last week. We had some guys over, and I was like, "Hey, bring all your extra decks, because at some point you need to offload these or do them." And other guys, if you sell them for super cheap, like $5, you know, you might actually be able to make a little bit more money. So he brought a bunch, and a lot of them are like fairly average or normal or whatever. But there are a few like solid ones in there. But as I was going through there, I found one that caught my eye. It was called, its name is Boundless D Rerihodge.
Rerihodge. Where is
Boundless D?
The origination of that word there.
Oh, that's Swedish, actually.
Ooh. Okay, Swedish deck. That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet. Likes to play against your Norwegian.
All right, deck. Battle for the North up there. Sounds good.
So the reason I looked at this is because I was looking at the deck list, and I started looking at the Mars suite, and happened to notice that it started with Aether Spider.
Ooh.
And I was like, well, I love Aether Spider. That's cool. Like, I don't have a deck with Aether Spider. And I was like, I could do this, like, because it's a coded deck. And I was like, wait, it started with a creature as its first card. That's really weird.
Yeah, you don't see that too often.
Because in the coda formatting, like, you don't start, you start with, like, the actions. And they do it that way. Now they do it by the, the rarity. And so they put all the rares at the bottom. But in coda formatting, they did, they do this. I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, so I started reading. I was like, Aether Spider. And then it was Grabber Jammer.
Ooh, great card.
Love Grabber Jammer.
So fun.
So good. Mind Warper. Love this. It's like a delayed steal. Action, you put one of their amber on one of their guys.
Like,
and
thinks he's a shadow, but just showing as a Martian.
And then the Plague Master.
Crush that.
Which I'll come back to him, because he's actually like probably the worst card of the deck. Then Tunk. And then you look Mega Mouth. Love Mega Mouth. So good. It's like Reap. Use a non-Mars creature. So, I don't know how it's cheating. Vizima Think Drone. Yixli Marauder. good in this particular deck, as you can tell with all these creatures. Then a Yixil Bolter, love the Bolter. Then you get a second Yixil Bolter, and then a Yixilix Dominator. And to close out the Mars House, you got a Zizix the Many. That's right, this deck has 12 Mars creatures, Jim.
12 creatures. 12. Have you ever seen a deck that only has creatures for their house?
12. Not personally. No, I heard they existed, and then I held one in my hand. I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
This is amazing. So naturally, I signed up for the Area 51 raid.
Yes.
I flew out there Absolutely. For the weekend, took my 12 Mars creature deck, had a good old time. Just kidding. It was ironic, though, that I pulled this deck on the night that storming Area 51 event was beginning. Like, I mean,
that's not Destiny. I don't know what is.
I mean, yeah, I'm just saying. But anyway, so I was like, this is great. Looked it up. It has like a 71 SAS score with, let's see, it's a 52 arc. So nothing crazy, but I'm like, I don't care. There's 12 Mars creatures, and then it also has Logos and Sanctum in it. And this is where it gets really interesting. So there's 25 creatures in this deck. Oh, 36 cards. There's 25 creatures, which is pretty nuts, right? In Logos, it has like a library access, so you can like really build toward those big Mars turns, more so than like trying to do anything crazy. Other than that, there's nothing like really insane about Logos. But then in Sanctum, so Sanctum's got some, you know, Bulwark, Lady Maxina, a few guys like that's really great. It's got a Doorstep to Heaven, which I love seeing that. Like, phenomenal I'm card. Never sad to see Doorstep. And then two Cleansing Wave. So Cleansing Wave is a card where it's an action. You heal one from every damaged creature, and then you gain one amber for every damage you just healed. And in a deck with 25 creatures...
Seems good. Seems like
you're good. There's a lot of stuff happening, and there's two of them. So in the very first game I played this, I played Cleansing Wave for 9 amber.
That's decent.
And then the second time I played it for 5 amber.
Okay. So 14. So yeah, two keys there.
Yeah.
That's not bad. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Clearly a board already in place too. Yeah. So.
The other thing I love, it has Commander Remiel. And so he's same thing, Reap. You can use a non-Sanctum guy. So you've got the Megamouth and Mars and the Remiel and Sanctum. So you've got a little bit of house cheating in there to do what you need to do. And so it's just like a super wide, like if you've got tons of board wipes, like I'm probably losing, like it's probably a given, but dear goodness, this is really fun.
So what do we need to do to get you to use this for the rest of your competitive matches? How satisfying would that be? You know, you just take the whole event with the 71 score.
Yeah, what I need to do is I need to get like a Mars playmat and like only play on that. I never won one at one of those events. Like I never got one of those. I need to win one of that. But it's pretty sweet. I'm trying to think of like anything else that like came out. I literally just played it before this game, and like the board just got so wide. Like I could just control with my board. Like instead of needing board wipes, like I could just control. What's funny is in all the games I played, like Logos ends up getting called like maybe twice a game.
Sure.
So I get one library access play to fill my hand, set up my Sanctum Mars plays.
Yeah, if you have 8 Mars creatures out there and you're calling Sanctum, you're doing something wrong there, yeah. I'm sure.
But there's like multiple turns where I'm just like dropping 5 Mars creatures, and if you're sitting across from that, it's just like, dear goodness, like
hands go up, you like, know, like
you gotta do something about that, yeah. So
you start checking the back of the cards too, like are these from the same deck here? Do you mix and match? What's going on?
Yeah. And love the Cleansing Waves. If it didn't have the Cleansing Waves, I don't know if it would have enough, but the Cleansing Waves are pretty awesome. So
you did mention, so with the 71 score, I think the one card you did bring up from Mars that was kind of a bummer.
Oh, that's right. The Plague Master.
Oh, Plague Master.
The Plague Master, which the reason it's the worst card in the deck is because it has a fight reap effect, deal 3 to each human creature. This damage cannot be prevented by armor. And when you're playing a Sanctum deck, that makes you super sad when you've got Bulwark and Commander Remiel and Raiding Knights and Staunch Knights, and it's just, it hurts. So, a lot of times I'm literally just throwing him into another creature on the other side and killing him off because I need my Sanctum guys to sort of protect. Like, I like to, like, drop my Bulwark next to, like, the Bolter and the Megamouth or the Aether Spider or Grabber Jammer just to, like, protect those things, keep them out there as long as I possibly can.
Sure. I mean, I guess with the Cleansing Waves, that could be, you know, pretty spicy still with the... Just take 3 damage, heal all of those up for 2, get some of that back at least. But,
yeah,
it's tough to pull off, but the potential's there to make Plague Master good again in 2019. So it could happen.
Nope.
Still Plague Master.
Yeah. Although I did, it was funny because the game I just played against Marcus, he also had a Plague Master on his side.
Oh gosh.
But he had Dis and what was it, Shadows or he no Dis and Untamed. He had no human, so it didn't affect him. So I literally threw my Plague Master into his Plague Master and just, like, killed them both at the same time. It's like, this is the only way I'm going to deal with this.
That's awesome, though. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense with you having the Sanctum there, too. So, yeah, that's a really fun one. You know, Swedish powerhouse, like I said, just could get nasty with that board, so that's sweet.
That's right.
We'll have to run these two decks against each other, see who comes out on top.
Yeah.
So, go Team Norway.
Love it. All right, let's move on to the King Potato.
Oh, King Potato. Guys, I'm going to get it right this time. I almost had it. I was convinced I had it last time.
You did
time.
Get 2 out of 3.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty good. 67.
Which I can respect.
Passes
but,
in college, it'll work.
Yeah, sure.
Look at the bright side here.
This week's King Potato submission... By the way, if you're new to the Wild Wormhold, King Potato is a segment where I give my co-host the name of a deck, and then they have to guess the houses of that deck just based on the name, figuring out how did the algorithm pull up these words to get here, and then explain their reasoning for what makes them think of these certain houses. So
strictly logic used, by the way, when coming up with these houses. You know, it's pretty...
Yeah.
It's an exact science that... Can be solved.
Mm. So this one, I went into our Discord channel for the Wild Wormhole. By the way, we do have a Discord channel if you're out there, and it's free to join. I'll throw the Discord link in the show notes too, so you can click there and join our Discord, and you can submit suggestions for our King Potato segment. But this one comes from a username GSYL100. So I don't know if that's like a Gzill 100 or if it's like...
Sounds like a Mars creature.
It is. Yeah. It's like Exilix 100. But he put in a suggestion for King Potato. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm so ready.
Are you ready? I bet you get 0 right on this one, by the way.
That's almost harder to do than get on all 3.
I know. So I'm hoping it happens.
Okay.
Okay. So the name of this deck is He Who Sculpts Farmers.
Who sculpts farmers.
Yeah, so I don't know if he's like up in the gym, like helping them work out and like get sculpted, like muscle wise, or if he's like literally creating farmers.
Okay. Now, is that you trying to give me a hint with the, you know, sculpting muscles?
I cannot confirm or deny.
Okay. There's a lot to happen here. So I don't feel like the pronoun there helps me out too much. Mars might have some pronouns, I don't know, but I would call those more its. So we'll probably stay away from Mars there. He Who Sculpts Farmers. You know, when you said sculpting muscles, you know, those Brobnar giants have muscles, so that's one route you could kind of take there. The farmers part of it, however, that's where it gets a little spicy. First thought is, you know, a house that likes to reap a lot. Also, you know, farmers, a lot of times.
Oh, farmer reaping. Okay. I was like, how did you get...
Reap the fields.
Okay.
Also,
by the way, this is an Age of Ascension deck. Just, I don't know if that...
Oh, well,
you.
This throws off all of the past few comments there. We have to start from scratch. No,
yeah.
Farmers, you know, there are a lot of humans that are farmers who, well, you know, farmers are humans. That statement literally made no sense.
Mm.
But there is a house that has a lot of humans, which is Sanctum. You know, most of them are knightly, but, you know, some of them might take a little bit different route with their work. So, Sanctum's feeling pretty good with the farmers there. As far as He Who Sculpts, let's see. We're going to go with, all right, I'm ready. So not Mars, not Dis. So we're going to cut those two out. So over the last five, let's go with the guess of, feeling like the drum roll in my heart here. Brobnar.
Okay.
Sanctum.
Okay.
And Shadows. No real reason. It's just not Mars or Dis. So we're going to guess some Shadows.
Okay.
Final answer. If I go 0 for 3 here, I'm so nervous. And that laugh pretty much confirmed it. All right, lay it on.
All right, so He Who Sculpts Farmers is an Age of Ascension deck with first deck is first house is Dis.
It doesn't even make sense. Who came up with this algorithm here?
Well, you know, there is like a Eater of the Dead, so there's like some farming, you know, he's eating.
I mean, that's more of a stretch.
His produce is the dead. It's like he's farming the dead. He's eating them and getting more powerful.
Clearly that's where they were going.
So you're welcome for that. The second house is, of course, Logos.
Logos. Absolutely Logos.
Obviously.
Obviously.
So how did you miss that?
Oh my gosh, I'm about to go for three.
my thought is like the sculpting part. Like, you know, Logos, they're inventing things.
Okay,
you know?
A lot of the robots are, you know.
So they were physically creating robot farmers. You just missed that somehow. I don't know how you missed that.
Gosh, it's like you put me on the spot and I don't immediately think of these things.
Yeah. You know, looking in the house, you know, there's three copies of Lab Work. So they were in the lab creating the farmers with their lab work.
Well, if you gave me the deck list, I would have figured it out much quicker.
And then the third house is...
I'm so nervous.
Shadows.
Yes!
You got one. You got one.
The complete guess out of the blue is what saved me from the...
What's funny is I look at the list of Shadows cards and I can't even come up with something for why that's correct. Like, there's nothing. Selwyn the Fence. There's a fence around a lot of farms.
Yes.
That's probably it. That's the algorithm that we were missing.
Gotcha. Yeah. I was thinking, you know, like Ronnie Wristclox, if he's in there, he's, you know, Ronnie's a male name. The word he was in there. clearly that's where they were going with that.
I was
that.
Like, what is wrist? You know, yeah, maybe they were using the wrist clocker to farm. It's like a really advanced,
Swedish tractor farm. French. Yeah.
All right, so 1 for 3 this week, Jim. Mm-hmm. You're one worse than last week, so next week is your 0 for 3. I know it.
I think I'm set for a big comeback next week, so it'll be good.
Nailed it, King Potato, everybody. All right, so if you'd like to submit suggestions for King Potato, you can hop in our Discord and add the name. Do not add the picture of it because I don't want Jim to cheat and look in there. And
I have been known to be a filthy cheater, so it's okay.
For sure. Cool. Well, as we close out the show, be sure to follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Wild Wormhole. I'm on the Twitter a lot, especially, but, Discord happens, on a regular basis. So be sure to jump in there and join the conversation. And then, to close, Jim, I always love to close with some flavor text, cause Keyforge has some pretty epic, flavor text. This one comes from the Mars creature Sky Booster Squadron that it actually made me LOL. It made me laugh out loud, Jim.
Wow. A real life LOL.
Real life. The flavor text on Sky Booster Squadron said, and I quote, "I thought you said we wouldn't need booster packs."
There's no booster packs in Keyforge. Because
the Sky Booster Squadron has the boosters on his back, Jim.
So it's Sky
and booster packs is a card game thing.
Yeah.
And you don't need booster packs in Keyforge. Do you get it? Do you get the joke?
That was way funny, right? Better when you explained it.
I know. I thought I felt like I needed to explain it for
That's
you.
That's where the LOL really comes into play.
All right, any final words, Jim?
No, it's been a great week of Keyforge. Really excited to... They were so kind to open up a latecomers league, so I'm actually going to be kind of looking through all my decks.
That's right.
I think my buddy Daniel as well, who we
talked about
the
Sanctimonious Latecomers League.
Sanctimonious Latecomer League, so I think there's 14 of us in that one. So looking to get a solid 6th place. Right there, top half still, so I can still go home and brag to mom about that.
So specific, I love that.
So yeah, 6th place, coming for you, and it should be a lot of fun. So right now, I'm just kind of going through my deck, seeing which ones would be pretty fun to play. So excited about that, excited for next week, Keyforge, just kind of grinding out some games and doing that as well. So
Well, if you play as well as you King Potato, your 6th is not an option. Maybe 12th. Maybe 12th, but 6th is a little... All
right, we're still not last. I'll take it.
epic. All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Until then, may your wild wormholes be truly wild.
Wild.